I want to remind you that next week we have one of the most delightful services of the year. All three of our campuses will be here, and we'll be having an outdoor service. It'll be at 11 o'clock only, so there won't be a 9:30 service next week. It'll just be 11, and we'll be all outside together. It's one of my favorite services of the year. And bring a lawn chair and see if you can enjoy yourself that day. Oh, Heavenly Father, you command us to take friendship seriously. And then you model that for us. Because in Jesus Christ, you said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And I pray this morning in a new and vital way, we could sense the friendship of God. We could open our hearts in a new and trusting way. And we could genuinely experience what it means to be a friend of God. This is our prayer to you. In Christ's name, amen. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel from 870 to 849. And he was a righteous king. He was one of the kings that the historical record said that he walked in the way of the Lord. And because he walked in the way of the Lord, God blessed his kingdom. And the economy thrived. And everything was going well. In fact, it was going so well that the enemies of Israel decided, hey, they got a lot of stuff up there. And if we played our cards right, we could defeat them in battle and we could take all their stuff. So the Ammonites, well, they were a country to the southeast of Israel. They got together with the Moabites and the Edomites, and they brought their army together, and they intended to overwhelm the army of Jehoshaphat. But because Jehoshaphat walked in the way of the Lord wasn't going to let that happen, and their plot was revealed. And messengers came to Jehoshaphat and said, this is the way they're going to attack you. They're coming up from the south. And Jehoshaphat did a remarkable thing. Almost every other person, the first thing they would have done is they would have said, all right, what shape is the army in? Let's get everybody here and drill and be ready. That's not what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat called all Israel to a day of fasting and prayer. He said to all of Israel, we're going to fast and pray, and we're going to see what God directs us to do. And Jehoshaphat led the way by standing in front of the people in Jerusalem and saying a public prayer. And in this public prayer, he said to God, you brought us up out of the land of Egypt. You gave us this promised land. You told us not to bother the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites. And we obeyed you. And now they've turned on us. And they want to take the land that you gave to Abraham, your friend. Jehoshaphat said, dear God, I'm praying to you because we are the descendants of your friend Abraham. That phrase got lost, the friend of God, until James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote his letter about 50 years after Christ, about 50 AD. And in his letter, James wrote this, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. And so the Bible clearly teaches that there's something about the nature of God that he finds joy in befriending people like us. God doesn't befriend us out of some divine obligation. He doesn't befriend us out of some sense of, I created him, I better be nice to him. That's not how his heart works at all. In fact, we're going to learn from the Bible today that God desires to spend time with what is most beautiful about who you are. He does it because he enjoys it. The nature of God finds joy in friendship with flawed people like us. In John's gospel, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and this is what he says. This is my commandment, in order that you love one another even as I loved you. Now, would you please listen to what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, this is what I'm commanding you to do. When I grew up in a church, we had a lot of rules, but I don't ever remember this one being on the list. There were a lot of rules, and most of them were about what we couldn't do and what we shouldn't do. But I don't ever remember this one being on the list. But Jesus puts it at the top of the list. This is my command to you. This is how I want you to organize and live your life. I want you to show friendship love to each other. I want you to be good friends with each other. Here again, this is the second time in this series we learn that Christ commands us to make friends and be friendly people and treat people the way God wants them to be treated. This friendship love is like the friendship love that Christ has for us. What does he say? This is my command, that you love one another. How? Even as I loved you. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he was a remarkable friend. He was an incredible friend. He was a friend that people delighted in being around. They enjoyed his company, and they were always better after having spent time with Jesus. That's the kind of friend he was. There was something about Christ that made the people around him better. And now this is what Jesus says to us. I've given you examples of what friendship love looks like. Now, I want you to go out and treat people the way I've modeled for you to treat people. But Christ went beyond that, and he said, greater friendship love no one has than this, that a person would place their soul in behalf of a friend. First of all, I want us to notice that Jesus says there are degrees of love, and the highest degree of love is self-sacrificing love. And then there are any number of lower degrees of love. So Jesus said, here's at the peak. The very best friendship you can have is that you're willing to do something sacrificial for your friends. And then there's degrees below that, and degrees below that, and degrees below that, till we stop even being friends and we just become acquaintances. All right. So Christ says, I'm going to model for you what this friendship looks like. I'm not going to model a lower degree of friendship. I'm going to model the highest degree of friendship there is. I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. Everyone here this morning and everyone online, If you are a Christian today, it's because Christ showed sacrificial friendship toward you. If you know God in your heart, it is because Christ himself showed sacrificial friendship for you. If the Holy Spirit abides in you and you feel inclined toward God and you have a sensitivity toward God, it is because in his great spirit, Jesus called you friend. And he made you not only a friend of himself, he reconciled you and made you friends with God in a self-sacrificing friendship. I wonder, are you willing to do a little examination of your character? Let's just look at two different parts of our character. Let's do the easy one first. Would you call yourself a self-sacrificing friend? Or would you call yourself a friend of convenience? I'm a good friend when it's convenient, but look, if I don't want the hassle, then I just don't bother with it. Can you hear me, church? That's not a very high degree of friendship. It is a low degree of friendship if you say, if it's a hassle, I'm out. If it's no hassle, I'm good. That's not a quality friendship. Now let's do it at another level. Christ has already proven that he's a self-sacrificing friend to you. What does your friendship with Christ look like? What kind of friend are you to Jesus Christ? I'm not going to ask you to answer that because in a minute we're going to define friendship together. But just in a general term, how would you rate yourself as a friend of Christ? Let's just pick a few things. Friends spend time with each other. How much time did you spend with your friend Christ this week? How about another one? Friends like to talk to each other. We like to talk to our friends. How much time did you talk to your friend Christ this week? See, there are higher and lesser degrees of friendship, and Christ asks us to lift our head up and shoot for the highest degree of friendship, a friendship that you say is valuable enough to me that I'm willing to put time and energy and sacrifice into it. Then Jesus said, this is how you show that you're my friends. You are my friends when you do what I command you to do. I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his Lord does. I called you friends because all that I heard from my Father I made known to you. Jesus said, here's a way of gauging your friendship with Christ. Do you do what your friend enjoys doing and asks you to do? See, it's real hard to have a friendship if you don't enjoy doing the same things, right? If you golf, it's easy for you to have friends who golf. If you golf and your friends don't golf, then there's an important part of your life that you miss each other on, right? Or I just pick anything. If you like to play pickleball and your friends like to play pickleball, you end up sharing more time together because you're doing things that you both enjoy doing, all right? That's what Jesus said friendship love with him looks like. Do you enjoy doing the things that your friend Christ enjoys doing? Do you enjoy doing the things that your friend Christ said, I'd like you to do this with me. I'd like us to do this together as friends. When you look at your heart, can you answer the question? Do you even know what Christ enjoys doing? Have you become a good enough friend to him that it's easy for you to say, I know Christ enjoys this. I know Christ enjoys this. I know Christ enjoys this. Do you see? Look, I see people play pickleball in the gym. They're just going at it. They love it. I don't like playing pickleball. There it is. I know I'm not cool, but just don't care for it. All right. So if you said, hey, Doc, I love playing pickleball. Let's go play pickleball. I go, you know what? I'll watch you. How about that? Okay. This is what happens with Christ. We organize our life around things that we enjoy, and we don't ever take time to even ask whether Christ enjoys that or not. Are you listening to me? And then Christ says, I want to be better friends with you. This is what I really enjoy doing. How about you creating a little time to do some of the things that I enjoy doing and I would love to do with you? Can you hear this, church? We show our friendship to Christ by participating in what Christ enjoys doing. Now, what does Christ mean when he says, I call you friends? I'm going to give you three definitions for friendship. A friend is a person you like and enjoy being with. A friend is a person that you like and you enjoy spending time with them. This is what Jesus said. I call you friends. I like you and I enjoy spending time with you. The second definition, a friend is a person who helps and supports their friend. If you're a friend, you help and support someone. This is what Jesus said. I call you friends. I want to help you and support you. Then the third definition is, this one's a little more, this one is a little more vague. A friend is a person that we're willing to acknowledge as a friend. A person is someone we're willing to say, this is my friend. Jesus says, you are my friends, and I'm willing to acknowledge you as my friends. I'm not embarrassed to call you friend. I'm not uncomfortable with people knowing you're my friend. Now, let's turn this around and say, if Christ is a friend to me in this way, am I a friend to him in that way? When I call Christ friend, do I mean that I like him and enjoy spending time with him? When I say to Christ, you are my friend, do I mean from my heart, I really like the kind of being that you are, and I really enjoy every minute I spend with you, and I look forward to the times that we share together? Or has your friendship degenerated down from that? The second definition, a friend is someone we help and support. Do you take delight in supporting what Christ is doing in the world? Do you enjoy helping the cause of Christ in the world? Do you look forward to opportunities to volunteer and serve in some way because Christ is your friend and you like supporting what he's doing in the world? We got Love Week coming up. What a wonderful time for every one of us to carve out a little extra time and say, Christ, you are my friend, and I want to support what you're doing in the world. I want to be on your team making the world a better place. Finally, a friend is someone we acknowledge. When was the last time you acknowledged to someone that Christ was your friend? Or is that the kind of friendship that it's easier for you to keep hidden? Do your friends at work know you as a friend of God? Do your neighbors know you as a friend of God? Would the people closest to you say, it's easy for me to say this person is a friend of God? Or if you said to them, I am a friend of God, would they be a bit surprised? Would it take them off guard? Listen, Jesus said, this is important to me. It's so important to me, I'm telling you it's a commandment. Friendship matters to me. Your friendship with Christ matters to him, and your friendship with others matter to him. Christ calls us friends, and then he lets us in on the inside information. This is something friends do. They tell each other things that they wouldn't tell other people, right? You'll tell your friends things that you don't want to tell just an acquaintance, right? It's part of the bond of friendship. You can trust them with saying, these are things that are personal to me, but because you're my friend, I feel comfortable sharing them to you. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And I feel so friendly to you that I'm willing to share with you the quiet, personal, holy things that the Father shares with me. Listen to what he's saying. The things that the Father shares with me that are so holy and so personal, you are a close enough friend to me that I'm willing to share those with you. Church, Christ is an awesome friend. He doesn't keep secrets from you. He doesn't have a secret agenda. Yeah, the Father and I have this secret agenda, and I just don't trust you enough to let you in on it. That's not Christ. It's just the opposite. Christ said, I know you'll disappoint me. I know you won't be perfect. I know that you'll find ways to make mistakes. But because you are my friend, I still share with you the beauty and the wonder of who God is and how he's at work in the world. Christ calls us friends because he shares with us all the beauty that we are capable of understanding of God. Listen, friends help friends understand things better. I have friends who understand stuff better than I do. I love to ask them questions, and I love to learn from what I hear them say. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, there are things you can never know about the Father unless I am your friend and I make them known to you. No one knows the Father, if not the Son, and the one to whom he chooses to reveal him. Your best friend says, one benefit of our friendship is I'm going to help you understand the Father in a way you could never understand him by yourself. James, I told you, picks up this idea of friendship with God. And he writes in his letter, James 4:4. He starts out with a shocking statement. He says, idolaters, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever plans on being a friend of the world establishes himself as an enemy of God. James says, he picks up on this Old Testament theme, in the prophets, when the people of God were not faithful to God, the prophets compared it to idolatry. The prophet said, God takes you denying him and worshiping another god the way you would feel if your spouse cheated on you. The prophets were trying to make it visceral. In the very same way you would feel if your spouse denied you and chose someone else, that's how God feels when we deny him and worship other gods. Well, James picks that up, and then he carries it into the New Testament, and he says, that's how Christ feels when you betray your friendship with him. When we betray our friendship with Christ, Christ feels the same way I would feel if my wife betrayed me. Church, he takes this friendship seriously. He's not playing games. And listen to what he says. If you set an agenda to have someone or something as a better friend than you have him, he takes it as a spiritual infidelity. And when I was working on this week, I had to tell God I'm seriously sorry about memories I have in my life where I wasn't practicing friendship with him in the way he deserved. Church, would it be a beautiful thing for all of us to take personal inventory and say, what kind of friend have I been to Jesus Christ? Does he feel, have I lived in the kind of way that he feels betrayed as a friend? James says in verse 5, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Now I want you to come to me. I know you've been daydreaming a minute. Come home. Come back to me. I want you to understand what this is saying. With Christ, the friendship is with the spirit that makes you you. The soul, the psyche, the thing that makes you you, that's the one that Christ wants to be friends with. He doesn't want to be the friend with the facade you. He doesn't want to be the friend with the persona that you put on for other people. He wants to break through all of that human defense mechanism. He wants to look at your personal soul, the soul that he created in his own image. And James said, he wants to look at your soul, and he wants to know that there's a solid friendship. And in fact, he feels the way we feel when we're jealous, when we find that we're not valued the way we thought we were valued. Can you hear this? Christ is jealous in a sinless way. The same thing I feel when I feel jealousy, that's what Christ feels when my friendship is not, when he is not first in my friendships. Are you opening your heart to this, church? Friendship is important with God. He takes it seriously. It matters to him. Now, James said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. What was he thinking when he said friendship with the world? When we befriend culture, we bend ourselves to be more like the culture. All right. I want to say this in an easy way. Who are you working hardest to be like? The culture around you or the Christ who is your best friend? You see? Whether you admit it or not, we all bend ourselves for culture. We all bend ourselves for culture. If we would have been all together in this building 50 years ago, we would have all been dressed very, very differently. Anybody remember? going to church when you were younger? We would have all been dressed very, very differently. I would have been vest very, very differently. I can't remember how many years ago. I started preaching in robes. That's where I started. Okay, because that was the culture, right? So every one of us, no matter how independent we think we are, we bend ourselves toward culture. We adapt ourselves to what is happening in culture around us. All right. Now, what James is saying, I want everyone to take a thought about themselves. Am I bending myself more to fit into the culture around me, or am I bending myself more to fit in with Christ? That's the point he's making. He's saying friendship matters to God, and you're bending yourself one way or another. You're bending yourself toward culture, or you're bending yourself toward Christ. And the harder you bend yourself toward culture, the farther you're bending yourself away from Christ. Do you see? All right. Now let's try to think about this in a practical Monday morning way. Tomorrow, we all have an agenda. We all have a schedule. We have things we have to do. And we're going to go about our day, and we're going to have to bend our day toward this and toward that. I have a schedule, but I'm absolutely certain that things will happen, and I'll have to bend the schedule this way a little bit, and I'll have to bend the schedule that way a little bit. That's just the nature of living, right? All right. What pushes me to bend my schedule one way or another? How do I decide, okay, I can't stay on track today. I'm going to have to make some adjustments. How do I decide how I adjust to the day? Well, hopefully, you don't give in to the tyranny of the urgent, and whatever's most urgent, that's what you do. Because if you do, you're not going to live a good life. You got to have a better way of deciding how you bend. And I want to suggest we bend based on three issues. The first issue that should guide our bending is, what do we value? What do I value? I'm not looking for the easiest way to get through my day. I'm looking for the most productive way to get through my day. I value being productive above having an easy day. Is there any amens out there or no? I'd rather be productive than have just a easy day. All right. That's a value. So I'm going to bend for what is more productive. If this is more productive and I have to shift my schedule, I'm shifting this way. All right. Now let's apply this to our friendship with Christ. Do you, in a daily way, have a value on Christ that says, I'm going to have to make some adjustments today, but one thing I'm not doing is I'm not adjusting Christ out of my life. I value him more than all this stuff. So I have to make adjustments today, but one thing I'm not doing is I'm not adjusting Christ out of my schedule. Now, church, that is the easiest thing in the world to do. You are busy, you have demands, people are pressing you, and the easiest thing to do is to say, I don't have time to pray today. I got to get all this work done. You just made a tragic mistake. You've bent yourself toward the culture, and you've bent yourself away from Christ. Are you hearing this? All right. You're going to run into people who... God has caused you to bump into because he wants you to encourage them, to bless them, to help them in some way. He's going to put them in your life, and they're not in your schedule, and you're going to have to bend. And you get to bend toward doing what Christ would like you to do and help that person, or you bend by saying, look, I just don't have time for this person today. I just can't do it. And you bend away. Are you following me? You worked all day, you're tired, your favorite show is on, but you haven't had any Bible time with God this week. Somehow or another, you missed it Monday. Somehow or another, it got canceled Tuesday. Now it's Wednesday. And you got to decide, am I going to watch this favorite show of mine? Or am I going to bend toward Christ and say, the show is not as valuable to me as Christ, and I'm bending toward Christ? Are you feeling this, church? This is what James is saying. If I have an agenda to be a friend of Christ, I'll find myself bending away from the culture. If I have an agenda to be a friend of the culture, I'll find myself bending away from Christ. The second way we bend is belonging. We bend toward what we belong the most strongly to. It's real easy for me to get invited to a golf outing and say, you know, thanks, I just don't golf anymore. It's easy for me to do that because I really don't belong to that sport. I used to play every Friday. I never play now. All right. You bend toward what you belong. Are you hearing me? Okay. Some of you have gone downtown in the dead of winter when it was so cold the snot was freezing in your nose and sat in the stadium for 4 hours and watched the Browns lose another game. You bent toward that because you felt you belonged in that Browns group, right? You bent your life toward that because you felt you belonged there. All right. Now let's apply this. I'm going to have to bend this week. Am I going to bend toward belonging to Christ, or am I going to bend toward belonging to culture? Am I going to bend toward my identity, my life meaning? The most important things to me are found in Christ, or am I going to bend toward? I'd really like to achieve this and this, and I'd really like to enjoy this and this. So I feel a stronger identity in this than I do in my relationship to Christ. We bend toward what we feel like we most belong to. All right, then the last one. We bend, if we're healthy, toward what we are becoming. In every one of our lives, if we're healthy, we're becoming less of something and more of something else. We're growing into what is best about us. I hope you are becoming more and more of the person God created you to be, church. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life every day to help us to become a little more what he created us to be. All right, now this applies to how we bend. Am I bending toward what I am becoming, or am I bending back toward what I have been? Am I bending toward something that is the very best in my potential, or am I bending back toward old habits that are the worst of who I am? Every day, we're making choices. These choices express friendship. It is a friendship act to bend toward a friend. And Christ said to us through his apostle James, look at your life. What is your plan? Are you planning to adjust your life based on your friendships with Christ, or are you planning to adjust your life based on your identity, your commitment, your relationship to the culture around you? So Christ says, to be his friend, you have to be countercultural. Do you hear that? To be his friend, we have to be countercultural. we have to be bending away from what is not healthy in our culture, but is so acceptable, and we have to be bending toward Christ, what is most healthy, but often not so acceptable by our culture. Church. Do you value your friendship with Christ enough to be thought not to fit in with the swells around you? It's really what James is saying. Are you more concerned with the people around you who you think have some kind of status, and so you bend toward them, or are you more concerned with Christ, and so you bend toward him? We cannot be both a follower of our culture and a friend of God. You see? Why? Because friends like and enjoy being together. And if culture and Christ are not close to each other, I can't bend toward both of them. Then there's another word here that kind of gets missed in the English translation. It says, if you are planning to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. The word make yourself is really you stand. You take your stand. This is what James is saying. Where are you standing? Are you standing in the cultural crowd, or are you standing with Christ? Is it easy? No. On one terrible day, all 12 of the apostles left him. They couldn't stand with him that day. They stood with the culture that day. Okay, Christ forgave them, though. You hear? If you have been standing with the culture too long, Christ is a forgiving friend. You just have to turn back to him. Christ very clearly took his stand as your friend on the cross. When Christ went to the cross, he didn't go there for himself. He went there as your friend, church. And Christ will very clearly take his stand as your friend on the great day. Listen to what Jesus himself taught. So whoever acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said these words himself. This is a friendship statement. Remember, one aspect of friendship is acknowledging. I'm not ashamed to say you're my friend. Listen to what Jesus says. I called you friend when I stood up for you at the cross. And I want to call you friend on the great day when I stand up before you. He said, but listen, you got to get serious about your friendship. If we deny him, he has every right to deny us. Am I right? Is it not absolutely fair that if I say to him, I don't want my friends to know that you're my friend, then I have put myself in a position where Christ says, then how can I tell my friends you're my friend? You've gone on the record that you don't want to be known as my friend. So how am I supposed to call you friend in front of my people when you have made it known that you don't want to be known as my friend in front of your people? Can anybody hear me? Is the Spirit of the Lord at work in our hearts at all? All right. I want to end on a positive note. I want you to hear Jesus say, I don't call you servants because I don't have that relationship to you. I call you friends. I want you to hear Jesus say, I'm setting a model for you, and now I'm commanding you to be friends to other people and to me the very same way I'm a friend to you. And then he's saying, please listen to this. I want to acknowledge you as my friend before my Father and all his holy angels, but I need you to acknowledge me as your friend so I can acknowledge you as my friend. Our dear Heavenly Father, I am grateful to Jesus Christ. I am grateful that he humbles himself to call me his friend. I'm grateful that he likes us and enjoys spending time with us. I'm grateful that he helps us and supports us. I'm grateful that he acknowledges us. And now I pray for myself and everyone who's here and online. Help us to be better friends of Christ. Help us to be continually bending toward Christ. In Christ's name, amen.